Walpin Web Snappers, there was no illusions about who took number one at the box office this weekend. We're going to break it all down next on Box Office Breakdown.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Hey, everybody, look at that. My little jaunty little intro music. Welcome to Box Office Breakdown, everybody. This is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we
prognosticate
about the box office that lie ahead. Nicely done.
Thank you. I was going to start rapping, but just with the word prognosticate. So I did a little. It's a little something.
Just a little?
Just a little.
Stand by later. Amy will get into her freestyle.
Pretty much.
She's going to let the flow take her over.
Yes.
That's right.
I like that you know about the flow.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. I am Frank Moran.
Hi, I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez.
And of course, usually we have our lovely and talented Carrie D. Lane with us to round out the panel. She is away at Anime Expo happening this weekend down to the Los Angeles Convention Center. So follow her on social media. She's been live streaming. I know she's shooting a lot of stuff here for AfterBuzz as well, too. So follow her on social media and see all the cool stuff that she's getting to do this weekend. And she's not doing it with us.
I know, but she's having so much fun.
Great.
So,
but you know what? We're going to have a lot of fun without her.
Yeah.
We'll show her.
That's right, Frank.
Yes. So we're gonna jump into it. We're going to do our box office breakdown. We'll find out who won the box office bet. We'll look ahead at next week's films. And then we'll do a spoiler take reviews at the end of the show of Spider-Man Far From Home as well as Midsommar. So we'll give you plenty of chances if you haven't seen either film yet to jump out before we get into the spoiler-filled discussion of that. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, let's start things off with just looking at this weekend's box office results.
Yeah, and if you guys, you know, have thoughts, which I'm sure you do, go ahead and jump in the chat. I'm overlooking that now.
You know, because you know what, you guys, folks, you can give us 5 stars. You can like us on Facebook. You can give us a thumbs up there, or 2, or 3, or 4, or 5, Woo! However many you can get there. And Amy,
yes,
if they're watching us after we've streamed live, what can they do?
They can comment down below.
Beautiful, beautiful. Ooh. So coming in at number one this weekend at the box office, as Amy described earlier, a small little indie film.
Hardly anyone knew about it.
I mean, I didn't see any advertising at all for this.
No.
Spider-Man, Far From Home. it made $93.6 million here for the three-day weekend. Much more, it's like $183 million if you include when it opened on July 2nd.
Yeah. Okay, I have some questions because is that good?
Like I mean, of course, you know, they're saying, hey, it was record breaking for its 5-day July total. I mean, I feel like you can almost here at the box office, you can make up any kind of it was the biggest box office from like 12:30 to 12:45 ever. So like I feel like those the little goals or awards you can set for yourself get, you know,
I like
more.
That though.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like biggest opening weekend of the second Tuesday of the 30th. Like, you know? Yeah, I mean, because I remember we looked at the box office, like the weekend box office numbers for Homecoming. And they were up there.
Yes.
And this one, even though, I mean, it did come out on a Tuesday, it sure, like, did make up, a good chunk. But, yeah, I mean, if we're looking at just, like, the weekend, didn't do as well. But it's a holiday, too. I mean, so Homecoming came out on the 7th of July.
I mean, according, you know, it made an estimated $185 million in its 6-day holiday opening. So that blew away industry expectations, according to CNN.com. Okay. The film was initially projected to make $125 million from Tuesday through Sunday, but now $185. So, so 93.6 just for the 3-day. You break it out to the 6-day, 185. And that's more than what they were expecting. Almost, what, 60 million more than they were counting on.
Oh, good. Okay, then I don't have to worry about it, right?
Good.
Because I was going to do something, you know? I don't know what that something was, but I was going to do something.
If you're going to worry, you should place your worries about Avengers.
Stop. No. It's going to be fine. We're going to be okay. We will make it.
It's not going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
That negativity will not be tolerated. Thank you. Okay.
I think the backlash has happened, especially off the poorly, the not rendered deleted scene with the Professor Hulk. I think that's just making people bummed out.
You know, I think it's a privilege that we get to experience that kind or that part of, you know, production process in a cinematic atmosphere.
Great.
Yes.
Nice spin job. Please put that, you know, Marvel, please put that quote right there on any promotional effort you're doing for getting fans to see this new kind of bonus content, BOCO, as they like to say in the biz.
I like that.
At BOCO.
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 Guys, let's start saying it.
That's right.
Okay.
Get BOCO. That sweet BOCO.
I love that BOCO.
So, Spider-Man Far From Home, though, mm-hmm. we got a little off topic there. We'll get into, as I said, a spoiler-filled discussion at the end of the show. Overall, though, what did you think?
Two thumbs up. Way up.
Way up.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't agree? No,
you know what? Because last week we did, if you didn't watch, we did our power rankings of the various Spider-Man films.
Yeah.
Including Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
And so, real quickly, mine were Into the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man 2, then The Amazing Spider-Man. This, for me, slots in number 4, underneath Spider-Man 2. Whoa. Yes. You?
Okay. It's top 2.
Top 2?
Yeah. It depends on the day, but it's up there. Yeah, for sure.
I've seen it twice.
Me too.
Nice.
Hey.
I walked out of the first one feeling kind of underwhelmed. And I felt like I felt it was a lot longer movie. It felt long to me.
Okay. After the first time I saw it, I was sort of bummed about this one scene at the end. And I was like, well, what does that mean? Just felt a little bit, not heartbroken, but not ripped off, but along those lines.
Yeah.
And then I saw it again and I was like, yeah, no, I'm okay.
When I saw it the second time, it didn't feel as bad to me in terms of the length, but it still didn't suck me in as much as I would have liked it to, which is kind of a disappointment.
We're going to get your reasons why at the end, but now I'm like, what the heck, dude?
There you go. What the heck, dude?
What the heck, dude?
So, yes, we'll get into those at the end of the episode. Coming in number 2, though, Toy Story 4 from Buena Vista / Disney, another $34.3 million to its coffers. Mm. Number 3 was Yesterday from Universal, $10.75 million.
Yeah, we did talk about that a little bit last week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
I still have my frustrations with that film.
I guess the longer, the more time passes since I've seen it, the more I'm like, there were certain things, yeah. But I love the Beatles. Happy birthday, Ringo Starr. I know you're listening and watching.
That's right,
I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but yeah, it's been
there you
a weird
go.
Day. But yeah.
He doesn't want to know. Everybody knows, but I guess I'll say it.
You're best friends with Ringo.
No, I mean, he's in our chat all the time.
I know.
He goes by Ken Jack.
Oh.
Yes. Sorry, Ringo.
Oh, my gosh. What?
It's really Ken Jack.
Wow.
Yes.
It'll be our little secret. Keep watching.
Back to our top 5 there. Coming to number 4, Annabelle Comes Home from Warner Brothers and New Line, $9.75 million. Number 5, Aladdin from Disney. Still sticking in that top 5, $7.6 million.
Yeah.
And I threw in a bonus number 6. We'll talk about it because it was our only other film. I know the chat was adamant that we included into the discussion last week. Midsummer, $6.5 million.
Yeah. You know, all I'm going to say is this.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever been so confused with my feelings leaving a theater.
Do you like that? Or do you want to leave a feeling? Leave a theater feeling like, yes, I know how I should feel?
No. Like, I don't want it to be boring and be like, yes, I know exactly how I feel, and I understood every single moment, and I don't have to watch this movie again. Like, I'd rather it confuse the heck out of me. You know what I mean? But with that being said, I still, like, on Letterboxd, not sponsored, but you guys can find me at Amy Cassandra MTZ on there, I didn't put a rating. And I wasn't even sure if I liked it or not. I was so confused. It is such a different kind of movie that I'm still like, ugh.
You know, I think he's an interesting filmmaker.
For sure.
Regardless of whether you like the movie or not, he is an interesting filmmaker.
Yeah.
And the visuals and the way that he shoots are really compelling.
Yeah.
I walked out of this film kind of feeling it's 2.5 hours long.
My goodness. I feel like we should have been warned. I mean, it's out there for the public to know. But I remember watching it and being like, oh, my God. How long have we been here.
Yeah. You feel the length in that one. And yeah. The original cut was 3 hours and 45 minutes. Which
Ooh,
went into
Boco.
A lot of Boco. Where it went into more detail in terms of the timeline of this whole festival. When things happen and why. And, you know, is it every 90 years or is it every year that certain things happen? There was a little bit more clarification. But ultimately, that fell by the wayside to get it down to its 2 hours and 30 minutes.
And yes, people in the chat, we are talking about Midsummer. Yeah. Full spoiler talk at the end because yes. I've got plenty of thoughts.
Ooh, all right. But, you know, the way that you mentioned how you felt, kind of yeah. like, I'm not sure how I feel.
Yeah.
I felt that same way out of Glass. When I left Glass, I was like, I don't, am I supposed to like this? Am I not supposed to like it? I was very kind of.
Well, I think you're supposed to like it. I think all directors. At some point, yes. we want people to like it. But yeah, I think at a certain point when you're creating something, not like I'm a director or anything, but you get to a point where you cross that line. When you cross that line, you just kind of give up the sense of like, you know, I don't care if people like it. I'm doing this because I have something to say and because I want to create this work of art, this film. And I think that Midsummer does that. That it's like, whoa, it's so out there and you're confused. Glass, like, yeah, I guess if you're not sure how you felt about it, but it's like much more grounded, you know,
yeah.
having all these human superheroes. It's much more grounded than actual people, which is weird to say.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll get into more of those discussions at the end. So, yeah, that was our top six. Now, of course, we did our box office bet on Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Far From Home.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of hot talk. So, I mean, how are we? I feel like, you know, really we should go by the 6 day.
Why? So you can win?
Yeah.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm I feel like that's the real big number.
No, you know? We've always done the homecoming. What? The weekend.
We always done the weekend? Well, mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, fine. I mean, because then neither of us win.
I mean, I'm still not winning. Yeah.
Oh, great. So as long as I don't win.
Yeah, pretty much.
So if we go by its 98.6 or 93.6, excuse me, we'll go by that for its official 3 day. We'll stick with that. The loser would be myself. I went really high. Swung for the fences, $145 million. Carrie came in number three of 135. Amy Cassandra Martinez, $125 million.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Well, way closer than you. So that's a win in my book.
And the winner, Brie, with $123 million.
Bow, bow, bow.
Look at her go. Yes. She did it. Yes. So, yeah. So. We have another chance here for some redemption for both of us coming up here at the end of the episode here. Another box office bet for two films. And I know you're excited about both of these.
I'm in the chat, so I'm not. I can't even remember.
We have a little film called Crawl from Paramount. That's the one where they're trapped with a bunch of alligators crawling through the hurricane-flooded houses.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I still don't understand crawl. I mean, because I guess the alligators, they crawl, but they're all in water, so they're all swimming. So I don't know if crawl is the best name.
I'm going to take a tiny baby tangent.
Okay.
Go on it. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Whenever I hear the word crawl, I think of that scene. And I'm not going to go in depth, but Kate Hudson names something. Crawl, the Warrior King. And now it's really frustrating because I can't hear that word without thinking of that scene. And it's funny. Like, it's not a woo.
In any context, so if somebody says, look at that baby crawl, you're thinking that.
No. No, I think it's more of it's just crawl. Warrior King. Yeah. I kept getting that girl, that actress, confused with the one from Ready or Not. And I swear to you, I thought she was the same actress and she is not.
Oh.
I've never been so confused. Well, I guess I have.
Just it's a
very
this
past confusing weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, a lot
right.
going on.
Then we also have, if horror is not what you're looking for this weekend, you want a little something, like a little fun action comedy, you can check out Stuber with Dave Bautista and Kumail Nanjiani.
Oh, yeah.
Look at how excited she is about that. Those are going to be the two films that we're going to be looking for your vote there in the chat to decide which one we'll do our box office bet on towards the end of the show. So start hopping in the chat, start voting away right now about which one of those films you'd like us to do this week's box office bet on. But in the meantime,
Dang.
Little hot international numbers. Amy, I'm so excited.
You know, I know we've got The Lion King coming out soon, but it's not this coming weekend.
It's the weekend after.
It's the weekend of Comic-Con.
That's right.
That's what it is.
There you go.
Yep. All right. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. I'm pumped. They're movies. People took time to make them.
Because you're skipping Comic-Con just to see The Lion King.
Of course. Not. Of no. Course.
Of course.
No.
Of course.
No.
International numbers here. Of course, after rolling out in China, a lot of courses here, Japan and Hong Kong last weekend, and then adding most of the world throughout this week, Spider-Man Far From Home continues to spread the arachnomania.
That's there you go. Good.
The full global total now is estimated at $580 million, including $395 million at the international box office. The current weekend was worth $238 million from all overseas markets combined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so look at this. Basically, it shattered Sony's all-time opening records in 35 markets, including Korea, Brazil, Mexico, Argentina, India, Indonesia, Taiwan, and Vietnam.
Wow.
There you go. So now it's playing in 66 offshore markets here, and it was number one this weekend in 63 of those. And basically, it's running about 15% ahead of Avengers Captain Marvel and 46% over Spider-Man Homecoming. So...
yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I'm sure there's also people out there that love Jake Gyllenhaal. And they were like, you know what? I need to watch Homecoming, and then I'll watch this. Maybe not see the rest of the Marvel movies, but...
where do you fall on Jake Gyllenhaal? Do you love him?
I like him.
Just
yeah.
Just a like? Is it a mild like? Is it a really strong like?
It's a mild like. Mm. I mean, without too many spoilers, he was fantastic in Far From Home. But yeah.
Because I haven't seen Nightcrawler. I have seen Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, Prince Day of After Tomorrow. Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. October Sky. I remember seeing that in high school. I don't know why we had to see it. I think it was slightly educational. Didn't really stick with me, except that I do remember he was in it. But yeah.
They lost you at the slightly educational.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Not for me.
Not learning? What is that?
International numbers again. Here we've got Toy Story 4 is now the highest grossing animated movie ever in Latin America.
Wow.
Overtaking Coco in Mexico with a massive $60.1 million.
Hey.
Yeah, the global total after that is a $43.1 million in its third overseas weekend. Is now $650 million total and $343.4 million just internationally.
Wow, that's a lot of numbers.
Yeah. And there we go. I saw Aladdin. It passed $900 million on Friday worldwide. The global total is currently $921.7 million with $600.9 million of it coming from international markets.
Wow.
There you go.
I'm happy about that. And I know we did get a little teaser of Mulan.
Yes.
Today, so I'm wondering if that is going to open people's eyes up to live action movies that are actually like really good.
Seeing these numbers here for Aladdin, what do you think, Lion King? Think it'll do even better than Aladdin?
Yeah, the Beehive guys, Beyonce,
great. Yep, Queen Bee.
Yes,
Queen Bee. Everybody.
Yes, Childish Gambino. Like, are you kidding me? Just those two alone. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. What? I know you're president.
Yep. I'm big Childish Gambino.
I meant Beyonce. But
oh, Beyonce?
Beehive.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm a part of the Beehive. Yeah, I'm a worker bee. I'm a worker bee in that Beehive.
That's exactly what they're called.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep, worker bees.
Mm-hmm.
So, Secret Life of Pets. The full international weekend was $22.4 million in 54 markets. The offshore total is now $121.7 for a global total of
$262.5. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it still seems like underwhelming. I just feel like Universal is like, I think this shows them that there's no real big interest in this franchise.
Yeah, but it's like still going. It's like crawling.
Yeah, but it is not doing great.
No.
And then we've got the, Annabelle.
Comes home.
Yeah, she comes home.
We have Annabelle Comes Home, Far From Home.
That's true.
And, like, well, that's a lot of home.
Overseas total is $84.6 million, and the worldwide total is $134.8. And lastly, yesterday, added $7.9 million across 35 offshore markets for a total of $20.1 million internationally and $57 million globally.
Not too bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's a, I guess it's a nice little counter programming one.
Yeah.
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 And there's the one that's based off of Bruce Springsteen's song that's coming out. If you saw the trailer during Spider-Man Far From Home. Into the Light, I believe that's it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's the actor seems fun in it. Like the character.
Yeah.
That's cold. Yeah.
I'll be curious. It seems intriguing there.
Yeah. I know we're getting a lot of musical biopics. I want to do it.
Before we jump into something else, you did mention the Mulan trailer. They dropped the teaser trailer.
Yeah.
And as we've been talking about Aladdin, we've talked about Lion King, we've talked about this, the Disney live action adaptations of their animated films. This one I kind of liked better because it's at least from this trailer, it strips it out of all the kind of musical nature of Mulan and just kind of treats it as just the story in and of itself, which at least as a teaser intrigued me. Whether once we get a full trailer, that changes.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like that its first opening thing had nothing to do with kind of tying it to the musical nature of the animated film.
Yeah, no reflection.
Yeah, you know, I'll make a man out of you.
Oh, that's my go-to, though. Reflection, Christina Aguilera. I used to sing that all the time.
Donny Osmond, make a man out of you. Say, come on now.
it was really cool. Just seeing the first few seconds, you're like, whoa. Because I recently saw Mulan again, the animated Mulan. And it was really cool to be like, wow, they really just brought that. And now she's there. And I know we also got Ariel. Ariel.
Yes. Cast. The casting for that as well, too. Though it's, which, in this day and age, you know, it can never just be widely accepted. There's always a divisive nature in casting like this.
But I do have to admit that I know I'm not the only one. But when I first read her name, I was like, Halle Berry? Okay. I trust you guys. Sure. But yeah, it's not. It's Haley. Haley? No. Halle Berry. I need to figure this out because this is confusing for me. But yeah, to know that I wasn't the only one getting them confused. Even Halle Bailey, even Halle Berry tweeted out. She was like, whoa, I kind of thought that was me for a second when it was just her name. Halle Bailey. Remember that. Okay.
What if they did hers, Ursula?
Halle Berry?
Yes.
No. Because Melissa McCarthy's in talks.
Yeah, but what if... Yeah, but
although Lizzo, there's so many conversations going on.
If you just had Halle Berry, Haley Bailey.
Halle Bailey.
There you go. You just put both of them in.
Ooh.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad that we got it clarified. But yeah, lots of Disney live action movies. So I'm excited. Just want them to be good.
Yeah.
You know, don't we all? Hopefully.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure there's some that
are out there rooting for Disney's demise. Yeah.
Disney.
Oh, they've got to go down.
Yeah.
So, folks, before we get into some hot spoiler-filled discussion about Spider-Man Far From Home and Midsommar, we've got to do our look at next week's top five and then do our box office bet. So, folks, still keep voting away in the chat if you haven't had a chance to do so yet on either Crawl or Stuber as the film that Amy and I will do our box office bet on after we do next week's top five. So now I don't have accurate theater numbers for Crawl or Stuber. They're both opening wide. So do you see either of them taking number one?
No. It's going to be a close call, but I don't think so.
Do you see either of them taking number two?
So even if Toy Story drops 50, what's 34 divided by 2? 17?
That's 17, yeah.
Math. No. No, I think Crawl might be third. You know, I think I only saw a trailer for Stuber for the first time this week.
Really?
Yeah, I'd never seen it before. So I wonder if that might have a little bit of something. But Kumail and Dave Bautista, like, they're pretty good on social media.
Yeah, but
so
really,
they might be. Yeah, I hadn't seen anything. So
because I feel like I've seen this a lot.
Really?
Yeah,
we've seen the same movies.
I know, but I mean, you haven't, like, on the social medias. I've seen
on the
Stuber trailers.
Medias, yeah, no? They're not. No, they're like, Amy, I don't think you want to see movies. What? Come on, Instagram, Twitter, get on
it. All right. Well, real quickly, Kumail Nanjiani and Dave Bautista. Do either of them just them themselves make you want to go see a movie that stars them.
I mean, I love them both. It's just the plot looked like, what? It's like they started writing it and they're like, well, we just want them to work together. Let's make it work. Let's figure it out. And then you have something. But again, that's just based off the one trailer that I have seen. I just left like, what? That was weird. That didn't make sense. I don't understand the purpose of it. I'm already like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel, because, you know, Dave Bautista, you know, entertaining to watch at Drax, and he's been good in Blade Runner 2049. He was good in the James Bond Spectre.
Mm.
Yeah, so, yeah, and there's little bit roles in there and there, so always fun to watch. But I, man, it's like when I, and he was great as a bad guy in an Hitman, the next, The Legend Continues, I think it was. But I feel like when I see Dave Bautista, he's also done some like direct to DVD films. And I just feel like when I see Dave Bautista, I think of him as like, all right, we're just getting a direct to DVD film. So when I like Stuber reeks to me of like, this is just like a direct to DVD kind of thing. It's not a big deal.
I mean, I believe in him. I'm just not sure if I believe in the plot. So it'd be interesting to see how they do. But yeah, I'd be curious to see if like people actually heard about this. Because, like I said, I only just heard about it. With that being said, I think it's going to be Far From Home.
Okay.
Toy Story 4. Crawl. Stuber. Yesterday.
Oh, all right. I'm going to go Spider-Man Far From Home. Toy Story. Stuber. Yesterday. Annabelle Comes Home.
What?
I don't think Crawl will make the top five. I don't think.
I have seen that freaking trailer so many times.
Yeah, but is it one that you want to go see?
No, but I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that are like,
yeah,
alligator things.
I do not think it'll make the top five. That's just my prediction there.
Yeah.
So, folks, we got to do our box office bet before we start talking about Spider-Man and Midsommar. So, folks, I look out to Ringo Starr, a.k.a. Ken Jack, if he's there in the chat, to let us know. Happy birthday, buddy. He might not even be in the check. He's probably out celebrating his birthday.
I know, right?
About which film we're doing. And folks, for those of you who haven't watched, the box office bet is whichever film that you have voted on in the chat based on the films available to you, we will then do our box office bet for that. Amy and I will play better numbers here of what we think the opening box office total will be for that film. The person that's closest will be prognosticator or prognosticators, like neither Amy or I were, so we don't know that sweet taste of victory this week.
I mean, I remember it. It wasn't too long ago. Winner always remembers.
That's true. And then the loser, of course, will have to go see the film and tell us all about it.
Okay. Yep, Ringo stars in the chat. 4-1 for Stuber.
Oh, Stuber. Amy's excited. The look on her face when the name Stuber came up. She's done it. So Camille Nunjani, Dave Bautista from Fox. It's opening wide. What do you think the actual total will be? Boy, what a weekend to be missing Carrie Lane, because there's really no place to hide.
So what are you going to put, Frank?
thanks. There you go.
A number came to me and I wasn't writing it down.
All right,
and but then I decided to just write it down.
Okay, what do you got?
I don't like going first, but I'll go first like a champ. 8.
Oh, I went 11. I don't know. I honestly don't know. 8, this could be one that could come right in the middle.
You know, we should have both said 11 or both said 8, but it's not like we can fix that.
That's true. Right. So super, super hot bet for Stuber there coming up. Can't wait.
Hot.
I know somewhere right now, Carrie's like, I'm missing a box office bet.
Yeah, she feels it in her soul.
There you go. Of course, I think next week we'll institute. If you weren't here for the box office, but you automatically lose.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good plan.
Except not for Comic-Con weekend. I don't think we should do that.
We should double do that.
I don't think so.
Then we'll do it. So, folks, that's going to do it for this part of the show. We got about like 6 minutes left. We're going to do an in-depth look at our spoiler-filled thoughts. Spider-Man Far From Home, as well as Midsommar. But if you want to tune in now so you don't get spoiled on anything... As always, thanks for watching. Like us on Facebook. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. Give it a bunch of thumbs up while you're on the YouTube channel. Like all these thumbs. Put them all up on there. And if you want to stay in touch with either of us after the show's over, Amy, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra, M-T-Z.
Oh, and yeah, definitely nailed
it. That T was a little weird. but also on Geek Bomb, we're doing a lot of stuff over there, including a super, super long review of Far From Home. But this, I'll share some thoughts that I haven't shared before here right now.
Oh, wow. Exclusive.
I know.
Yeah, she'll never let me do stuff on Geek Bomb. I've asked her many times, and she said absolutely not. Yeah, you have
to. It's a really rigorous process to become a part of Geek Bomb. You'll get there eventually, maybe. It'll work for me. I don't know.
Folks, follow me on the Twittergrams at Happy Kill Jackie. Folks, that's so much. Thanks so much for joining us here for this part of the show. Stick around for some spoiler-filled thoughts. We're about to start those. And for Spider-Man, Far From Home, and Midsommar in 3, 2, One.
Bow, bow, bow. Spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
Okay. Right. I had so much fun. We're talking about Far From Home,
yes.
Right? Okay, yeah.
Yes, Spider-Man, yes. Far From Home. You had so much fun.
I had so much fun. I have to say that I was a little bit confused after, you know, we'd gotten, 20, 30 minutes into the movie? Not even. And Jake Gyllenhaal's character, Mysterio, had already done his thing. And I was like, yeah. But, you're Mysterio, so when are we going to get to it? Once that happened, I was like, oh, okay. So then we see his face go like, well, that wasn't so hard. And at that moment, I was like, ooh.
Wait, you didn't know before that?
No, I knew something was up. I just didn't know how it was going to be, how they were going to show it, what exactly was going to go on.
Yeah, the moment that the glasses came into play, you're like, all right, this
really?
Is it. Yeah, as soon as that became a thing. It was like, all right, this scene is all about him getting him. Yeah. And then as he walks out the bar, he's going to mug. And sure enough, he did.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Peter and MJ and Spider-Man and MJ for sure. We got a little bit more of that in Far From Home than we did in Homecoming. We got a little teaser of that in the trailer, one of the trailers. It was nice, and it was even cuter than I was hoping or expecting.
You know, it's because I said I ranked this number 4. After all of them, and it's fine. It's a fine film, but it didn't grab me as much as Homecoming
Why?
Did.
Like, what part didn't grab you?
What I will say is, Jake Gyllenhaal, after Dr. Octopus, because I think that was one out of Spider-Man 2, I really liked Alfred Molina's Dr. Octopus. I thought he had a great character arc in that film. He's a really engaging, fun, compelling bad guy. I enjoyed those moments with Jake Gyllenhaal in there. I kind of liked his shift So I dug Jake Gyllenhaal as a villain, but it still was not enough for me to like it as much as I wanted to. I don't know what it was. Is it taking... Spider-Man's a fun character. Mm-hmm. Is it taking him out of the friendly neighborhood part of it that kind of watered it down for me? I don't know. Did I miss some of the stuff that I enjoyed seeing in the first film with his interactions with just some of the locals in Queens? Did I want that kind of New York flavor? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I like the idea that he's just trying to recover and move on a little bit,
for sure.
Post Tony Stark death. So for him to just be put literally on across the globe and have to still fight for his sort of neighborhood, even though his neighborhood is now the world, it could be anywhere. I think that's really intense. And so the fact that he doesn't want to. It also hits other things. Because in the past, he's like, yeah, put me in, coach. That kind of idea. And so now he's going through so much emotionally that it's just, yeah, I like that. I like that he's not super willing to do it and he doesn't want to. And then he even tells Nick Fury that he doesn't want to. And then he's like, okay, well, cool. And then he kind of lets him go. And then he hijacks the entire, thing. I love that we get to see Peter really go through it, and especially that the scene from it starts when he gets to the Netherlands.
Yes,
and he calls Happy, and he gets there, and then he's like, "Wait, how do I know it's you?" Whoa, I love that. And then when he's just crying in the jet, with Happy, and Happy gives him the talk, and then he's like, "Okay, cool, I'm gonna go do this," and he's like, "No, really, what are we gonna do?" And then he goes and makes his own suit. That was so touching, and it made me feel it's gonna be okay.
I'll be curious with that, because it's when you take Tony Stark out of the equation, who was so instrumental in providing Peter Parker with all this tech that he has. how it was still going to work if Tony Stark does not exist.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you saw this, at least Happy's an extension that he still has access to some Stark technology that he can use and kind of create it himself. And it was cool to see him actively creating it as opposed to like, oh, he was always being given something by Tony Stark.
Exactly. He's growing up.
So I did like that. You know, it was interesting, though, that Edith was, because it's, I mean, it's drone technology. It is also, I mean, it's defense, but it's also tactical. It was hard for me to buy that he was going to give it. That a 16-year-old. Yeah. That was a hard stretch for me.
That wasn't a hard stretch for me. What slightly confused me was when Peter gave it to Mysterio. He's like, yeah, confirm, cool. But then when he got the glasses back, Edith was like, okay, cool. Yeah, like, one had to confirm again. And I was like, maybe it's because it's Peter.
I'm guessing because his biometrics are already laced in there. So I'm thinking, yeah, that's how he got away with it. I did like the new Spider-Man costume. I am a sucker for the red and black. Kind of how he looked, you know, when he looked at it when he was first created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko.
Yeah.
It was kind of a red and black look, and I'm always a sucker for that. Red and blue look good, but the red and black, because I don't really like the black stripes on the red and blue costume. The black stripes, I like on the arms, like, always seem kind of weird to me. They look like they're out of place.
Yeah.
So as an all black part of the coloring, then they don't stick out to me, so it looks cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. The ending.
So hot cameo, we get to see we get to see J. Jonah Jameson back.
Yes,
and they bring our boy over from from the Sam Raimi films.
I know, I love that.
That was great.
What was not so great was how Mysterio left everything. Like, Peter was struggling to even he obviously didn't want to tell anyone yet. He wasn't ready, and the fact that that's out there, and now that everyone knows that Peter is Spider-Man, ooh, and that he was cast in a bad light, oh. Like, stressful situation.
It's interesting that they introduced that idea, which I think is cool, but then they also used the second stinger there to show that the Skrulls were impersonating Maria Hill and Nick Fury.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be using the Skrulls as a kind of get-out-of-jail-free card for him in the next film, because if you're already, saying, oh, and we shapeshifters exist, so maybe they could help him out. I don't know if that's the case. Or the fact that he's got this, Edith, which is all this backdoor into a lot of the huge... telecommunications firms, that he can just extract that video. Mm-hmm. And then it's just basically there's no proof, but it's everybody just like, hey, I heard this.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's, I'd be curious to see, but it makes it interesting to see what the third film is. Mm-hmm. We've got to go real quick, but Midsommar, super fast.
Whoa. Okay. It started, it was really depressing, it was going to be really crazy and out there, but it just kept going. It felt way too long. I thought we were there for like 5 hours, which we weren't. You end up not liking a good chunk of the character, so as they start dropping like flies, you're like, well, good, they had it coming. And then you're like, whoa, am I a bad person for saying that? Oh my gosh, that's crazy. And then like at the end, she basically like sentences her sort of ex, I guess, to death. But is it kind of like a, oh, well, because, I don't know what his life is going to be like after, because he looked like he was just paralyzed and like he couldn't move anything or what, or if she was like, she turned into like a killer person, like a murderer or whatever. There was unnecessary weird stuff going on with him and then that other girl and then like the bear situation.
Get in that bear, baby. Get in that bear.
Get in the bear. but like, it's something that I would like for other people to see so we can have the conversation more out there, because it's, you talk to a couple people here and there, and you're like, that bear, man. Like, I can't believe they just put that guy in the bear. Like, the what?
And
like,
they just cooked him up.
That's it. Like, that sounds made up, which it is, I hope. But,
That's real.
Do you based on a true story.
Yeah, do you want to go to Sweden?
No, thank you.
Okay, sure.
No. Oh, yeah, all right. It was so weird.
I would think, if anybody said, hey, you go to every 90 years they do this really cool festival, I would think I would skip. Just because if you tell me it's remote, I think I'm out. Because, it just seems too many weird things could happen to me.
Yeah. The bed situation where they're all there, I'm like, I'm very sensitive when it comes to my sleep. If someone's snoring, I'm like, ugh. So that seemed like a nightmare already.
Do you wear a little night mask?
I do.
Yes! Does it have eyeballs on it?
No. Oh. It's a super silky one. It's very nice. And then the back is just like, it's so nice.
All right. She wears a night mask. I love it.
I got it for free.
There you go. Oh, that's the only reason. That's why I wear it. That's the only reason. If you had to pay for it, no.
No.
Understood. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Midsommar, I just felt it dragged. It dragged to me. Visually, there's some interesting things about it, but
Oof, horrifying.
Yeah.
Horrifying, which I'm also like, good for you. That's haunting.
That's right. Yeah. Be careful when you follow those cliffs. Make sure you go head first so you don't have anything. Oh, you don't have to get beaten up afterwards. Yes.
Oh,
folks, yes. There you go. That's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. Thanks for joining us here. We'll be back here next Sunday. We're all going to be here. Yeah, we're going to be here. And then Comic-Con's in 2 weeks. And Carrie and Amy are going to go off and have some fun, and I'll be here. But we'll see you then. Until then, folks, go see some movies, including Stuber. Go see Stuber. You owe it to yourself.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.